Good day once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us on today's segment of Christian Conservative Radio with your hosts, Pastor Bob Peterson and myself, Spokane City Councilman Mike Fagan. Tell you something, Pastor Bob, we've got a whopper of a show here for the listeners today. We're going to be talking about some very, very real-time things that are going on. And, you know, even though last week we kind of alluded to the fact that we were going to get on the education train, if you will, and, you know, go after this thing called Common Core, yes, as far as education is concerned, between the states of Idaho and the states of Washington, you know, again, folks, we are in that period of discovery right now, and we are looking for, you know, those speakers that can come on this show and speak intelligibly about, you know, what is at the core of Common Core.
Well, that's for sure. We're going to be recording those programs, and we'll have them up on the website. Boy, I can't talk today, Mike, but it's good to see you. I'm Pastor Bob. Hey, we've got on the Common Core, though, we're going to have more coming up. We're going to have another education thing on a replacement for school systems in the states that's taking hold. And this would be a really good salvation to the whole thing and getting more Christian schools going and everything. So we'll have that program coming up in a couple weeks here. And more on Common Core coming up.
Oh, you bet. And in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that you have figured it out by the tagline at the front end of this show. Christian Conservative Radio is all about reaching out to fellow Christians and others out there with the message. Get up out of your chair while you still have that ability to do so. Get your hands dirty. And what I mean specifically by that, get reengaged. And you can do so by telling all your friends, family, coworkers, congregation members about Christian Conservative Radio. We're here every Saturday at noon on 106.5 FM, as well as five affiliate stations here in the area, which broadcast us all over eastern Washington, northeastern Oregon, western Montana, and northern panhandle of the state of Idaho. And I'll tell you something else, folks. Please, by all means, you got to log on and check us out at www.rallyright.org. Again, that'll be rallyright.org. For those folks that are not doing the internet thing here, give us a call, 208-987-0005. Again, 208-987-0005. And I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, very, very important that we Christians get motivated and inspired to get back and re-engaged in our local governments here, because all politics is local. And, you know, we are commanded to get involved in our government. We are commanded by the scripture to get our hands dirty, become re-engaged. You know, nothing happens in this world unless you apply prayer and works. And that's what we're asking for you folks.
Well, that's great, Mike. And, you know, our mission statement for this program is to bring together and empower like-minded Christians who will be active in safeguarding our freedom and way of life in our cities, counties, states, and country. These like-minded Christians will unite under the auspices of the Holy Bible, prayer and fellowship, and the Christian Conservative Creed. You know, our program is the most important thing, is leading people to Jesus Christ. Now, as a pastor, over the last 40 years, I have been involved in leading many, many people to Jesus Christ, and that's the Great Commission. And, you know, God calls us all to, as servants of His, to go forward with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to lead others to Him. But He also, in our Christian walk, He calls us to a lot of things, you know, and He gives us gifts in what we can do. And lately, we've seen a lot of people stepping forward in this time of need right now, and I believe God will pour His Spirit on certain people that are needed in this time of the falling of the way of the United States for the coming back. I believe in a revival that can happen here in the United States. Or if there is not a revival, Mike, I believe in the remnant of those people who are going to stand fast, and they're in the prophecies in the Bible. And so if we think about the Lord and we give our hearts to Him, how important it is to lead those people to Jesus Christ. But then what is God calling you to do? Mike always says, get up out of your seat while it's still time. And so what can we do? For on Christian Conservative Radio, we are identifying Christians out there who are conservatives. And a lot of times we have what we've written called the Christian Conservative Creed. And Mike's going to go over this creed with you here and the things that are in it and how it kind of bonds us together with some things that we believe in.
Mm-hmm. And that Christian Conservative Creed is as follows, folks. We believe in the triune of God, the Father, His only Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Freedom, the Constitution, states' rights, justice, individual rights. And here's a piece of subject matter that we are going to be addressing today, the right to life. Marriage, and I will be clear, the union of one man and one woman, personal responsibility, national security, fiscal responsibility, and finally, support for Israel.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, you know, on the right to life, it is just atrocious what's happened here in the United States over the last years and tens of the decades have gone by, and just for the abortion and for all that's happened with the children and how, you know, God's going to have, there will be judgment for it, you know, and so, but I believe things can be turned around. How can we not protect the right of the unborn? You know, I have always had a heart for this, and I just do not understand it. I can't understand how people can think the way they do, how they can think that this is even comes even close to right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe in the protection of the unborn. And so I don't know what God's going to do or how it's going to happen, but I believe right now that the Christians really need to come forward, and we need, there can be salvation in this country. There can be repentance, and I pray that it turns around.
Oh, you bet. Well, I'll tell you something. You know, here's something that'll make folks out there that are listening a little bit more happy with regard to that issue of abortion. And, you know, it is my understanding, Pastor Bob, that, you know, abortion numbers are at its lowest in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing. The word is getting out. God is working behind the scenes, and he is changing minds. He is touching hearts and changing hearts out there. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, here in the city of Spokane, there is a Planned Parenthood organization that's right off the intersection of Ruby and Indiana Street. You've got some Christians there, dedicated Christian conservatives that are out there every day during business hours, praying over, providing intercession with prospective clients that are approaching the Planned Parenthood facility there. And I'm telling you what, folks, those people can definitely use your prayers. And who knows, maybe you ought to take a couple hours one of these days and head on down to that intersection and help those folks out.
Well, that's it. You know, I've been over there myself and held a banner with the, you know, with a lot of different Christian groups. And we all have our different denominations we belong to, or maybe we claim to non-denominational. But you know what? We all are Christians, and we all should have the heart for what needs to be done. And so anything we can do. And so this program is going to keep up with the groups and the events and the things going on so you can participate for just the saving of these innocent born, these innocent lives.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just right now at Christmas time coming up here, just think, you know, Jesus came into the world as a child, and they tried to even kill him, you know, but it's just how important life is. And, you know, one thing in the scripture, you know, a lot of times we wonder what we're supposed to do. How are we supposed to do things? We look and we know of the coming of Jesus Christ. And in Zechariah chapter 14:4, I love this old scripture right here. And it says, in the day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. This is talking about a prophecy of Jesus Christ, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it shall move toward the south. And then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come and all of his saints with you. And this is a prophecy of the return of Jesus Christ. And when he comes to the earth, Jesus will return physically to the earth. And I'm looking forward to that coming. And I say, Lord, come quickly.
Oh, you bet.
But I'll tell you, because I'm very, very frustrated with this earth sometimes and the things, the evil that's in it. And when Jesus comes, he will rule with a rod of iron. And so it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day or night, but at a evening that it shall happen, that it shall be light. And so God will shine his light in on everything. But until then, what are we supposed to do as Christians? In Luke chapter 19:13, Mike, it says we're supposed to occupy until he comes. And so what does that mean, occupy? One version of the Bible says we need to do business until he comes, but occupying is a big thing. And so the Lord will come back when he's going to come back, but until then, we've got a lot to do, don't we, Mike?
Oh, you betcha. You bet. Well, you know, along the lines of the right to life, I've got a little bit of information here I would really like to share to the listeners, share with the listeners anyway. And, you know, I'll tell you, it goes to show you a real good illustration of the times at the time. And what I'm talking about is back in the period of King Herod, you know, leadership qualities. It was all about power. It was all about asserting that power. And if you folks recall, when Jesus came to man the first time, he was sitting on a donkey. And what did he bring for a leadership trait? He brought humility with him. This was something that was totally strange to the people at the time, because what those folks were doing, ladies and gentlemen, is they were engaging in this practice called exposure. And what I'm saying specifically here is basically taking an unwanted child, and for whatever reason it was, and putting them on the outskirts of town and abandoning them there. And again, under the leadership of Jesus, under the concept of humility, we had Christians now going to the outskirts of town to collect up these orphan babies, these abandoned babies. Again, another illustration of the right to life. And you cannot deny it. The book is very, very strong with regard to its support of the widows, with its support of the orphans.
Well, that's for sure, Mike. And, you know, Christians are so involved in so many things. And I'll tell you, you're the salt of the earth. And the scripture goes on and on about how you need to show the light of the Lord and what you do in your life. And I'll tell you, Mike, it's we've had a lot of things going on, but also we get involved in, I'm going to use the word politics here, you know.
Bet.
And I have, you know, I help get Christians elected to office. You know, and I've worked toward that, and find out who has the values, you know, who's going to stand by the things that are like in the Bible, you know, mostly in the Bible, you know, and then we kind of interview them and we say, hey, what do you believe in? We find out what they believe in. You know, character does matter. You know, that was a big discussion a long time ago.
Oh,
it doesn't matter if you have any character. You can just be in government and do anything, right? I mean, can you believe that? Well, I'll tell you, character does matter. And I'll tell you, it was we've won some big victories over in Idaho here 30 days ago, and it's been really good in Spokane, all the victories we had here, and a lot of precinct committeeman involvement there. And I'll tell you, you know, Mike, you were a precinct committeeman one time, weren't you?
Oh, you betcha. As a matter of fact, I spent a decade plus in that particular position. And I'm kind of in between assignments right now, to tell you the truth, Pastor Bob, because I do plan on being appointed as a PCO once again after a one-year hiatus, if you will, you know, just by virtue of my city council duties. You know, we are looking to be reappointed, and it's going to happen right after the new year.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, PCOs in Washington, they're called precinct committeemen, you know, precinct committee officers in Washington, precinct committeemen in Idaho. Every state has a different name kind of for it
a lot of
times. But I'll tell you, as a precinct committeeman, Mike, we have a surprise guest today. And guess who our surprise guest is? It's Mike Fagan. You know, Mike Fagan is our surprise guest today because, you know, Mike is what we call a Christian conservative leader. And he has made, I know Mike, I don't think he minds me saying this. He's always believed in God, but here just over a year ago, he made a complete commitment to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll tell you, you know, thanks to both Pastor Bob, as well as someone you've heard here on this show in the past, in Cindy Zapataki. I'll tell you, a wonderful experience, and I've been enjoying my walk ever since.
Well, that's it. And, you know, and as a leader, you know, you've held your ground here in Spokane as a city councilman. It's been a battle, hasn't it?
It sure has. I'll tell you, you know, this country is morally bankrupt, and I'm talking about all levels of society, all levels of government.
Well, Mike, he also has a radio show called Right Spokane Perspective. Isn't that what it's called, Mike?
That is correct.
It goes on 5 days a week on 6:30 a.m. At what time in the morning?
It'll be at 9 o'clock in the morning, yes, on the American Christian Network, AM 630 on the dial.
And it deals a lot with the local things that are going on in Spokane. And Mike is just embroiled in the things here, and he always has to keep his Christian walk going. And sometimes he stands alone on the city council there, because I've heard all the stories. But Mike, I'd like to know, you know, just to recap, you've been on the show here for all this time. time as co-host here. And I just, what's going on with you? How'd you grow up? Where was your family? Where did you, how many children you got, grandchildren? You got all kinds of things going on.
Oh, you bet. Well, I'll tell you, you know, we were born 50 some odd years ago, and we were born into a Navy family. And I grew up a Navy brat for the vast majority of my childhood. We traveled all over the world, all up and down the West Coast, from Adak, Alaska, all the way to Imperial Beach, California, and all points in between. We finally ended up over in Japan for the majority of my childhood. I am half Japanese, if you will. My mother was a Japanese national. And as such, I like to, you know, embroil myself and stay in touch with my culture, my roots. I truly enjoy immersing my children in our Japanese culture, American culture roots. And I plan on doing the same with my grandchildren.
Well, yeah, how many of those you got now, Mike?
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, I raised up three children. They're all adults. I've got two of them that are affiliated with the military, one stationed over in England, one stationed over in Virginia. And the youngest is still here at home with us in Spokane. But, you know, amongst the three there, I have actually been blessed with four grandchildren in 3 years. And it's just been a wonderful, lovely experience. Because I'll tell you, you know, speaking to other Christians out there, other business people out there, you know how it was when you became a father for the first time. It was nose to the grindstone. It was all about taking care of the family, et cetera. And you lost sight of what the important things were. And then the next thing you know, your kids grew up and they moved out of the house. Well, now I've got an opportunity to make up for that with my grandkids. And I am just enjoying it.
Well, that is great. Well, Mike, you know, you how did you get started in politics?
Well, I'll tell you something. Just like everybody else, you know, you find yourself a little bit over 40, you're paying a mortgage, you got kids, and then you take a look at your tax bills. You take a look at the newspaper and you see what's going on TV, and it's just not right.
Yes.
It's just not truthful. It's just something that you cannot get behind and be there to stand for that. And I mean, just like a whole lot of other folks out there, I ended up waiting until, you know, that criteria was met. And then I got involved in politics. One of the first things that I did when I became involved in politics here in the state of Washington back in the 1990s, we used to have a very egregious, atrocious license tab fee program. And I mean, our license tab fees here could be over $1,000 for each vehicle. Well, what we did was run a citizens initiative to put ourselves on the political map here in Washington State, and we brought those license tab fees down to $30.
Well, that is,
and that basically
I
put
even
us
heard
on
about that in Idaho years ago.
You bet. You know? And at the same time, if you folks recall, you know, back during the Contract for America, there was a huge, huge controversy ongoing with the Democrat-controlled Congress at that time, and this is where you saw a lot of freshmen Congress people get elected to Congress based on a term limits promise. I know the state of Idaho had Congresswoman Chenoweth that made that promise. I know over here in Washington, in Spokane County, we had Congressperson Nethercutt do that. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. One of the other things that I did during the onset of my political beginnings was I donned the King Weasel costume, and I chased our congressman at the time, George Nethercutt, around the 5th Congressional District because he basically decided to renege on a promise that he made to the people and that he would serve only two terms and then get on out.
That's it.
You bet. And that basically got us involved and totally immersed in politics.
Well, Mike, how did you get elected to the city council? What did you go through?
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, just like a lot of the other guests that we have had on this show, you know, if at first you don't succeed, you continue to try and try again until such time that you do. And that was the story for me also. You know, I had, as a Christian conservative, I am running for city council position against a very well-funded, well-known Catholic liberal. She was a woman to boot. And, you know, I'm not saying anything with regard to equality issues, et cetera. I'm just saying I'm running against a woman. This is my first try at public office. And I'll tell you, you know, for being a Christian conservative in a liberal union-laden type of a district, I didn't win that first run. But I didn't give up hope. I continued continued to pray. I continued to work. And 2 years later, I took another shot at it, and I won hands down. And I tell you, I had just been enjoying serving the people ever since I've been elected.
Well, that's great. What's it like being on the city council? I'm sure it's just a piece of cake, right?
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, even though I may very well be in a very serious minority, I mean, and I'll give you a good example, 7-member council, a lot of times that vote goes 6-1.
That's right.
And you don't have to guess who that one dissenting vote was, because you're talking to him right now. I'll tell you, one thing that I have learned is this, ladies and gentlemen, you know, regardless of whether or not you stand for God, you'd stand by God, or you stand for Satan, you stand by Satan, the moral versus the immoral. You know, the people that I work with, even though, in my opinion, they just don't have their heart in the right place, we all, I believe, have the best interests of the citizens at heart. It's just we go about doing our business a different way.
Yes.
180 degrees from each other. I like to approach things from a godly standpoint, from a constitutional standpoint, and my colleagues are 180 degrees, totally opposite. It is the end justifies the means.
Well, like the barista issue.
The barista
going out
issue,
here,
you bet.
You lost that battle.
We sure did. And all we were looking to do here is just to make sure that the coffee houses either had their ladies put on just a little bit more clothing,
yes,
so that they weren't perceived as being totally nude,
yeah,
on various days during the week. And I'll tell you, some of the locations of these coffee stands are right across the street from Montessori schools, okay, just to name a few. And in discussing this issue in the public, we're basically giving the coffee shops an opportunity. Do you want to engage in adult entertainment? If so, move to the appropriately zoned area. If not, put a little bit more clothes on. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, I did not win that fight in a vote up or down with the Spokane City Council. And about 6 months after that, a citizens group came together, and they are currently working on a citizens initiative to get that particular ordinance repealed.
Well, that's great, Mike. Now, you know, when you stand alone out there, you know, I mean, sometimes it's tough, isn't it?
Absolutely correct.
And you get a lot of, I'm sure, harassment, you know, from people who just think that you're just completely off base. But you know what God's telling you to do, right?
Well, I'll tell you something, Pastor Bob. To the contrary, you would be absolutely amazed at how many people do come out of the woodwork. Yeah. And on an individual basis, they say, you know, Councilman Fagan, I agree with you 90% of the time. I agree with your stance. I agree with your morality. I agree with your principles and values, but
there's that but.
There's that but word, ladies and gentlemen, and it's kind of like, I mean, you're either for truth or you're not.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it's all the way or nothing, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, that's what God calls us to do. What about compromise? You know, I mean, that's...
Well, I'll tell you, you know, compromise is tough. I mean, is there anywhere in the Bible where you see where Jesus compromised or one of the disciples compromised?
No.
I don't think so.
Nope, just stand your ground and then take what comes,
that's
right?
Absolutely correct.
Well, that's really great. Other things going on in Spokane, you know, the sanctuary city and...
Oh, you bet. You bet. Well, I'll tell you something. You know, we Americans, we are so proud of the fact that this country has become this light, this beacon for freedom and liberty. But I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, it is not a beacon for freedom and liberty for those folks who have come here illegally. Just in the state of Washington, ladies and gentlemen, what we are faced with, us Washingtonians, every year, we spend $2.7 billion, taxpayer money, supporting illegal aliens. We're not just talking about the border jumpers. We're also talking about those that have violated their H-1B visas. And I'm talking about 2,700 illegal adults with 104,000 of their illegal children. And we spend $2.7 billion just in Washington State of Washington State taxpayers' money.
That's it. And so it gets kind of tough out there.
You bet.
It?
So a month ago, the city council, again, a vote of 6-1. They ended up making the city of Spokane a sanctuary city. And I'm proud to say, ladies and gentlemen, in no time at all, we have got a citizens group that has come together, and they will be running a citizens initiative to repeal that.
Well, Mike, it's always good that you're standing in the gap out there. And, you know, that's what this program's about. And you started out as a PCO, a precinct committee officer. You moved up to city council, and now you can stand in the gap. So we encourage those out there who are thinking about doing something, Lord, for the Lord. Just get, pray to the Lord, see what he wants you to do. And I'll tell you, he can can do miracles with you. And Mike is a testament to that. Mike, would you like to finish us up and close us in prayer today?
Oh, you bet. Father God, thank you so very much for your grace, your blessings. Appreciate the fact that you allow Pastor Bob and I this forum here to get our message out, to get your word out, to reach out to fellow Christians and see about getting them motivated and inspired. I am praying to you, Lord, that you allow us to continue to do this. You allow us to get that word out. It is all for your glory, Lord. And with that, in your son's name, we pray. Amen. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, as we head on out the door, please, all you fathers and grandfathers out there, real serious about this, grab your family, glorify and praise God, give the family a great big hug and a kiss, take them somewhere nice this weekend.